Hello and welcome again to today's musings, ponderings, pontifications from Roger Bauer, SMB Consulting, the SM, that is Social Media Ninja, and yours truly, Wes Schaefer, a.k.a. the Sales Whisperer, a.k.a. the Sales Reverend, a.k.a. Daddy, the Too Many Kids. Nah, not really. Today we have on the agenda all types of updates. We are working on a broadcast this afternoon that was sold out last week, so we're doing it again. Why only 5% of marketers make money on social media. So we'll be talking about that a little bit today. Maybe a little Monday Night Football discussion. And a few other things in our stack of stuff that I'm sure Mr. Roger has available. So, Roger, what is going on in Kentucky?
Well, it's actually a nice day today. It's been kind of rainy and dreary and just depressing the last few days and cold and just not making me happy with the
We don't want to hear that. All right, start over. So how is it in Kentucky today?
It's beautiful today.
That's when you say, man, I got a new shotgun, hunting dog, whale are running.
It's sunny and it's pretty nice out. I think it's around 60, 65 degrees. It's pretty nice in Kentucky today. Can't complain about today.
I mean, look at the news, all right?
I could complain, but nobody would care.
That's right. The economy's in the crapper. Nobody wants to tune into a podcast and listen to the bad weather. Goodness gracious. Except here in California, we actually like the rain. At least I do, but I'm a southern boy and it doesn't rain here for 6 months at a time.
Yeah, it's nice.
But anyway, so what else is happening?
Well, the last couple of days I've been tweeting out about our webinar and about how 5% of people, 5% of marketers only make money with social media. And I guess a guy has taken the links through to find our managed social media and helping people find Twitter followers. And he's been trying to hammer at me that he can find Twitter followers on his own, that it's not about helping find followers, it's about being relevant, and it's not about some service that you can offer somebody, which I hear that message loud and clear, and we've been telling people, if they listen to us on a regular basis, that it is about sharing quality content, contributing to the conversation, adding value. We haven't been saying anything different from that, but my response to him was, not everybody is a savvy social marketer or social media marketer by nature. Some people are new to the game. I mean, I think the statistic in the social media marketing industry report is 72% of people have only been doing this a few months or just started. So
right.
If 72% of the people are new to the game, then I would say a good percentage of those 72% are going to need some help with this stuff, and that's what we're trying to offer people. And this guy's just hammering away at me like, you know, I'm spamming people or I'm the scum of the universe. And it's like, I don't know where he gets off, because it's like, if you read the offering of what we're trying to help people with, that's not for everybody. I mean, if you
where did he pick you up?
He's been following me for a while. I've been following him for a while. He's actually got a very good blog.
Was he doing some, like, a Twitter update on this or on his blog or what?
Yeah, he responded back to me, and this is a quote. He'll know who it is when he hears the quote, but I won't call the guy out, but it says, I can get relevant followers using a psychic advisor as well. My point
using
is you
a
earn followers. He said he can get us relevant followers using a psychic advisor as well. His point is you
a
earn
psychic
followers.
Advisor?
Yeah.
except psychic advisors go against most people's religion, and we're not allowed to use them. So for the non-heretics of the world, what are the other options besides psychic advisors?
Well, you could use a service like us. You could hire us to help you with it, train you how to do it. You could also find somebody else. There's several quote-unquote gurus out there that you can latch onto and worship at the ground that they walk on and admire how many followers they have and how many products they sell at $1,500. And at the end of the day, you'll still wonder, how do I make money with this? And yeah, I'll win the popularity contest, but how am I really going to make money with it? And how am I going to find these quote unquote relevant followers and so forth? So there's options out there, but I think we're offering something of value to people that will legitimately help them grow their business and build a loyal following and do it the right way. But
well,
I guess this guy makes you just
always,
build a psychic network.
There's always going to be naysayers on whatever. Now, I mean, this guy's fundamental premise, you know, neither one of us are debating.
No,
content
no,
is still king. You know, I was reading earlier, you know, a guy was saying, Twitter is the river, your blog or your website is the lake,
mm-hmm.
right? So you've got the volume and the content and the depth on your blog, but you got to let the world know. Now,
right.
using efficient means and tools to attract followers to reach that critical mass that it then begins to grow virally, that's not a bad thing, especially if it's affordable. Okay, and like I said, especially for beginners, so many people, the hardest thing is just starting. You know, get started. Go out and get you 300, 500, 1,000 followers and see that number and be proud about it and then have people start. You know, when people first start to retweet you or send you a direct message, complimenting you on what you do, I mean, it's the same. Even though I've never been a musician, you always see folks, you know, like on biography channels, you know, talking about when a particular singer first heard themselves on the radio, you know, how excited they got. Well, it's the same kind of feeling when somebody retweets something that you are talking about. It's exciting. I mean, it's validating your work and your efforts. And so that's a cool thing. And so if you can use some tools to get a little – head start, you know, hey, just like hiring kids to pass out flyers on the street, you know, that you've got a concert coming up and you're playing at the local Elks Lodge, you know, I mean,
right.
Hey, get the word out.
And that's what I've responded to.
If people see you perform and they like you, then the word spreads.
Right, and that's what I've responded to him every time is I don't disagree with the content model that providing quality content is the best way to attract relevant followers, build your loyalty base, build your prospect base, and all of that. But at the same time, you got to get the word out to somebody so that they can help you send the message on, spread the message, just like you said, when somebody says, oh, hey, I discovered so-and-so, and I was really excited when I did it. And just like you said on that, when somebody retweets something you said, it validates your work. It's also one of those deals that somebody took the time to read what you had to say, even if it took 2 seconds, and then they thought, hey, that's worthy of me telling other people. I mean, that is a good feeling. I mean, it's, hey, somebody's actually listening. You know, sometimes you sit there and look at the monitor and you wonder, is anybody at the other end? Is anybody listening? Is this thing on? And then when they retweet you, it's one of those, you know, confidence builders that, hey, I must be doing something that somebody's taking notice. So it must not be all bad.
I know. I feel like I'm at home. You know, I'm talking. There's nobody listening. It's no fun. Can't tell you how many times I step over my dog and say, move, dog. No, Decker doesn't even listen.
Decker's not going to listen. That's his house.
I'm on either the sales whisper. I'm out, or the dog whisper. I'm out close to him. I'm going to have to set up an interview with that guy.
Yeah.
He keeps calling me, you know, his people, so I'm going to have to finally respond. I've been kind of putting him off a little bit, but maybe have him
He's
come
good.
Out. No.
I've watched some of the shows. He's very good.
All right. I'll.
But I think that there's something else that we can tie into this whole content thing, is I would venture to say a majority of the people that are going to join us on the webinar later today are going to be people that either discovered us through social media. I know there's at least 3 or 4 people that have my RSS feed going directly to their inbox. They've registered for the webinar. You've got a lot of people that are on your list that have registered for the webinar. There's people who've come through Twitter for the webinar. And we haven't met with these people face-to-face and said, please, will you come to our webinar, or called them up on the telephone and said, please come to our webinar, or sent out a big ad on a radio station or a TV station to say, hey, why don't you attend our webinar? This has all been done through social channels.
Well, hey, and if this is too much off topic, let me know. But let's talk about RSS feeds, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I know people are confused about that. What is the purpose? How do you add them to a site?
Mm-hmm.
Is it simple? Do you have to pay a web designer to do it? What about WordPress? I know there's some plugins for that, or is it automatic?
Mm-hmm.
What say you on the matter of RSS feeds?
Well, there's two ways you can look at RSS feeds. Most blogs have them built in to where you can get either an Atom feed or an XML feed from a blog, and people can take – you're syndicating content is what you're doing. That's what it stands for, really simple syndication, for those that have, you know, wonder what does the acronym stand for. And this will allow other people to tap into your content and distribute it on their chosen channel, whether they want to, you know, post it on their blog, if they want to read, it's kind of like retweeting, to where they can put your content on their blog and help share your message. So that is a very positive thing. Some people, and I'll call Infusionsoft out because this is something that boggled my mind when I did it. I've got an Infusionsoft blog that helps promote their products and helps promote their live demos and get customers into their funnel. But I got an email, kind of a nasty gram from Infusionsoft saying, hey, take our blog contents off of your Infusionsoft site, which all it is a blog site that shares news about Infusionsoft. That's all it was designed to do. And my response was, I don't understand what you're getting at. You've got an RSS feed, so obviously you're inviting syndication of your content, but yet you don't want me to syndicate it on this blog that's going to help you attract leads. So I don't understand what the philosophy is there. I know they say that they work really hard on their blog content, but I would think they would be thrilled that somebody would want to, as Seth Godin
said. That's all you were doing was doing an RSS feed?
Yeah, and I had it totally automated to where I didn't go out there and copy and paste everything. The RSS feed came into the blog, went out just as if it were a post on my blog. It even said up in the thing, RSS, so people weren't misled to think that I wrote the post myself. They can just look and see who the author is, and they'd see RSS and understand, oh, okay, it's a syndicated feed. Or even if they don't, if they want to comment on that post, the message is still getting out.
Right.
I don't understand why Infusion took that stance. They say they work hard on their blog. To me, that goes back to what you said at the beginning. It's a validation of their work. I'm helping them attract leads. It's another outlet for their content to be consumed. Maybe people don't want to go to the Infusionsoft blog every day. Maybe they just want to go to a site that gives you the latest news and has several different sources of content, so that they can get it all right there. And that's what I was attempting to do, is have a kind of an aggregator of Infusionsoft news so people could come to one site, learn about Infusionsoft without going all over the web to get that stuff. But, you know, I digress.
Just ain't right, brother.
Well, you know, it's everybody's got a different view of it, and I've had other blog owners take the same stance of, hey, you know, take my content off of your blog. You didn't write this. And it's like, well, look, dude, you don't have
if it's syndicated, I don't see, if they offer the syndication.
Exactly.
I don't know. I'm stubborn. I tell them to go pound sand.
Yeah, I mean, that's been my response every time, is, hey, it's an RSS feed. It's not like I copied and pasted, went out there manually and did it, which I understand where they're coming from, that they worked hard on their content and they've got copyright rules in place and all of that. But if you offer, just like you said, if you offer the syndication, you're inviting people to do that.
Right.
So I don't understand where they're – and, you know, you can go to FeedBurner and find a feed, or you can start your own feed there. To me, it's a great way to get heard on multiple channels without paying any money. I mean, you don't have to pay any money to get an RSS feed. It's free for the asking, taking, whatever. And you can get in front of more diverse groups and different audiences that maybe you're not even thinking about, because there's a blog owner out there that says, hey, I need some more content for my blog. This person's got some good content. Hey, have at it. If they want to take mine, go ahead.
That's how you get heard. You heard me?
Exactly. That is how you get heard. I mean, some people are just
funny. Hey, so I pull up my tweet deck here. I don't know if we mentioned that before, but tweetdeck.com. Go and get this little tool for aggregating your traffic, your retweeting, what have you. We'll get into that maybe in a different call. But
let me toss something in there before you move on from TweetDeck. You can track your MySpace, your Facebook, your Twitter,
All
the stuff that's going on there real time. It's free. Doesn't cost anything, but it makes tracking all of this stuff and listening to the various conversations a whole lot easier. You don't have to go
right.
to each individual site. You can just go to your TweetDeck and look, see, okay, what's going on right now. It gives you a snapshot real time of what's going on with the people you follow, the people that follow you, so forth. Anyway, sorry.
Yep. So I've had a couple of meetings with, not quite friends, but close associates that I've known for years here in my little hometown of Murrieta, Temecula. And it's amazing how people wait till it's too late to do something. So I put just a post out today using Ping FM, to kind of like using TweetDeck, right? I mean, I use it to aggregate multiple sites and keep things updated simultaneously. But, I said, why do people wait until a business is off 35% and they have no money before they decide to attempt to market and advertise?
Right.
And so this has been picked up by a couple of guys already. So
mm-hmm.
that's pretty cool. But, I'm just saying that. I've been telling people for years, literally. I mean, I started the Sales Whisperer September 1st, 2006, and, I felt like Chicken Little, man. The sky is going to fall. And people are like, oh, hell no, you crazy displaced Texan, Cajun, hybrid, whatever the heck you are. Hanging out in California, get you some flip-flops and some granola and drink some soy lattes and buy yourself a house because they're going up 35% a year.
Right.
Right. And so I said, look, folks, hard rain's coming. So I've been renting for 5 years, right, out here. And the best investment of my life was one I didn't make. But I was telling people, look, this stuff is going to come to a crashing halt soon. Said, and if you've only been in business for the last several years, you don't know how to sell, and sure enough, it's hitting. This guy I met with yesterday, he's been in business 8 years, and goodness gracious, he grew by word of mouth, and now business is off 35%. He's got no money. Like, can you help me? I said, look, it's going to take time or money.
Mm-hmm.
So, pick. You got to have some money. Otherwise, pick up the phone, wag your tongue, go get you some deals.
Right.
And most people, they're afraid of the phone. They're afraid of rejection. They don't know what to say. And that kind of gets back into my roots here, and won't get too much into it on these calls. But, the basic sales training, human interaction. If you don't know how to react with somebody face-to-face, how are you going to react to them in this social media environment?
Right.
Because it still is, first word is social. So you've got to be sociable.
Mm-hmm.
But too many people are just full of bull. They got the last half. They're not social, but they're full of bull. But man, you got to get started. It goes back to that guy we started out the call. I mean, that dude using psychics to get followers. I mean, look, whatever it takes, it's legal, moral, and ethical to get followers and build some momentum.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get started.
And that ties into that too. I mean, just like I've told him, that not everybody is real comfortable with this stuff. So if you are a little bit intimidated by social media, find somebody to help you. It doesn't have to be us, but it could be. I mean, you can't go wrong by hiring us to help you, but at the same time, get somebody to help you if you're not really sure which path to go down, how to develop a strategy, how to go about finding relevant followers, how to get your message out, how to come up with relevant content to share with people, how to build your brand. I mean, but there's something else that I think I ought to interject on that as well, and that is, if you're not a social person offline, you're not going to translate in, or you're not going to suddenly become one and Puff the Magic Dragon's going to make you a social person online. You're going to be just as intimidated by having conversations with, you know, 100 people online as you would be in front of a group of 100 people live and in person.
Yep.
So if you're not a social person by nature, find somebody who is that can help you with this stuff and let them be your face or let them be your voice. Because if you're one of those types of people, and I come across these people all the time, that the world's out to get them, they've been dealt a bad hand, and just everything goes wrong, woe is me. You know, as soon as I get online, then everybody's going to come out of the woodwork like roaches when you turn the lights on. They're going to go scattering everywhere, and they're going to come flocking to my site because everybody's just waiting for me to get online so they can get me. If you really believe that, then I'm going to go out on a limb and say, you're probably right. Whether you think they're out to get you or they're out to help you, you're right. So whatever mindset you have, that's what you're going to carry into social media. So if everybody's out to get you, guess what? They're going to get you on social media. If everybody's out to help you, they're going to help you with social media.
Very nice.
And sometimes that's a tough pill to swallow for some people because they realize, you know, I'm more of a hermit offline. And, you know, oh, God, I know I got to do this social media stuff, but it just, it's so, I almost partnered with a guy who was like this. He's very old school, very close to the vest, very protected in everything he does, very calculated, which that's fine. But somebody like me who is social and embraces this stuff, I could tell that we were like oil and water because he was so reserved. And it's like, well, I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing. I don't want my business being shouted all over the internet, which I wasn't shouting his business all over the internet, but in order to try to grow what was going to be our partnership, I kept telling these guys, we've got to do this. We've got to get in there. This is where things are going. This is the least path of resistance in terms of advertising dollars, getting your message heard, not having to spend a bunch of money on print marketing, things of that nature. But you could just tell that these guys were just totally put back by social media, and it intimidated them, which there's a lot of people like that. And if that's the case, find somebody who is very comfortable with this stuff or at least can guide you in the right direction.
Right.
Because you can get swamped under very quickly if you don't know what you're doing or you're going to be one of those types that gives up very quickly. We see these all the time, Wes, that they think that this is the magic pill, the magic bean. We've been hammering that on the podcast the last two or three days. And they get into this stuff and they give up after a week or a couple days and they think this is stupid. This is a waste of time. I can't make any money with this. I got to make money now. And I think you had a story about that, that you know, they need to make money now. And you tell them, well, social media is no different than anything else. You got to build relationships with these people. It's not just go out there and broadcast, buy my product, or, you know, hey, check this out. Aren't I great? You got to build relationships with them just like you would somebody offline.
Yep. Very nice. Well, what about reading in the news here, the good old Technorati came out with the State of the Blogosphere 2009. You have a chance to?
I have not had a chance to see that.
Skim
that.
Well,
what did you learn from that? What are the takeaways?
Oh, man, I was hoping you read it because I just like the title. You know, you're the one supposed to be talking about it. But it said, hobbyists. Hobbyists represent 72% of the respondents to this survey. You know, so saying they blog for fun. They don't make any money. They blog to express their personal musings, 53% of those. 71% update at least weekly, while 22% update daily. But, you know, one of the interesting things that came out of this, you know, talking about from professional bloggers or Twitterers, you know, why do they use Twitter? And it's to promote their blog. Okay.
Yet they're not making any money with the blog.
Well, no, it's not, that really wasn't the point, but it's like, you know, use Twitter? And it's to steer them back to your blog or your website, which we've always been saying. That's where you put, you know, that's the lake. Twitter is one of the rivers that feeds the lake.
Right.
You know, so Twitter and Facebook and even regular advertising, you know, or traditional advertising, television, magazines, radio, you've got to send them somewhere.
Right.
And that's really the missing link in a lot of these gurus. You know, they lead you in with big promises of social media, but at the end of the day, you got to have them going somewhere, nice squeeze page, landing page, opt-in form, building that list, merchant account. You know, don't be afraid to ask for the order.
Yeah.
But it's a good good update. So from Technorati, TechNorati.com.
And I think that's a great point you make, Wes, is you got to guide people to something. Even if asking for the order is asking for their first name and email address so you can follow up with them on a semi-regular basis, you don't want to hammer them every single day. And I think that's something that the internet marketing gurus have conditioned people to believe is, oh, if I get somebody to opt in for a report or an ebook or a podcast or a webcast or whatever it might be, that I got to follow up with them every single day, sometimes twice a day, because that's what these internet gurus do. No, that's not the case. You want to – what is your typical sales cycle right now? You want to try to mimic that as much as possible and offload those tasks. Let's say you have to follow up with somebody five times, six times before they are more receptive to your offer.
Well, but see, so there's a big problem. That I have seen over the years and using Infusionsoft the last year and a half, you know, doing sales training for over 3 years now, most people don't know their sales process.
Right.
If I ask them, you know, if I just said ring, ring, you know, they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, how do you answer the phone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are your top three or five objections that you get? How often do you get them?
Right.
How do you respond? How, if you know you get them all the time, what are you doing to project that or bring it on to yourself? What are you doing to address it up front and remove the objection from ever happening in the first place? You know, and then asking them, you know, how many touches does it take to close a sale?
Mm-hmm.
People, they don't know these numbers. You ask them, what, you know, what's the average ticket price? You know, sales price of what you sell. How many of them buy upgrades like extended warranties or gold or platinum service and support? Or, you know, whatever type of add-on upsell. I mean, people, they don't know.
Right.
They're running around. And what this business or what this economy is forcing people to do is pull their heads out of their butt and get some exact processes going. Or they better get their butts on the monster.com. Because their job will go away.
Right. And it's something else along those lines is what are the, say, six pieces of information you need from every customer and how are you going to get them out of them? What questions are you going to ask? What steps are you going to put them through so you can gain that information from them? How are you going to build trust with them? It ties right into your sales process, your sales training, and everything else. And I think that's been lost in a lot of this too, is that you're not going to sell everything online just because you got this fancy report or this ebook or whatever. You're still going to have to talk with people. You're still going to have interactions with them. You're still going to have to ask the tough questions. You're still going to have to answer the tough questions. That isn't going to go away. You can offload some of that stuff, but at the end of the day, you're still going to have to deal with that, and you're still going to have to go through a process, and hopefully it's aligned with the customer's typical buying process. That's something else a lot of people they think they're going to force customers to buy the way they want to sell, and that just isn't the case. I mean, with the internet, it's turned it over to where people buy when they want to buy. It's always been that way. People buy when they want to buy, not when we want to sell them. And I think people get a misconception that, oh, just set up an internet marketing campaign and everything will be easy. We'll go out and sell $1 million worth of stuff in a day because all these gurus do it. It's not that easy.
It's not.
And something else that I'll share with the people is the big hidden secret from internet marketers is that they still use direct mail. The successful ones still use direct mail. They still use traditional advertising. They don't use it as much, but they still use multiple channels to reach their target audience. It's not just 100% internet marketing, pay-per-click ads. They're not all their eggs are not in one basket.
Say it isn't so.
It is.
Goodness gracious. First you start out with bad weather in Kentucky. Now you tell me social media isn't going to save my business all by itself. Good grief.
That's right.
Next thing you're going to tell me is no Santa Claus.
Yeah, I won't say that today, but there's rumors out there that suggest such.
Well, where can I look on Twitter to see if that's true or not?
Just send a post out and ask people. They'll tell you.
All right. So what kind of tip of the week do we have in store today?
We've flooded people with some really good stuff today. We've given them stuff about the sales process. We've given them stuff about building a following, RSS feeds, not waiting until it's too late to get into social media or start marketing your business somehow. I mean, don't wait until you're getting ready to close the doors and go, oh, man, maybe I ought to try this marketing thing out, or maybe I ought to try this social media thing out, or maybe I'll send out some postcards or some letters or brochures or something to try to build my business up. It's like you said, Wes, it's too late then.
Well, what about what's your cool little tip of the day? I mean, you turned me on to Twitter Grader.
Yeah. I'd say let's share that. That's twitter.grader.com. Go put your Twitter username in there, and you can see what your quote-unquote grade is. Don't ask me how they come up with this. I'm sure it's a combination of people you follow, people that follow you back, your tweets, the frequency you tweet. I mean, I'm sure it's got all that in there. I don't really know what's the magic formula to crack this thing, like everybody's always wanting to reverse engineer stuff. Don't even worry about that. Just go look, see what your grade is, see who's the elite in your area. And if you do nothing else, if there's somebody in your area that has a rather large following, go look at their followers. Are there interesting people in there that you would like to connect with? Are there people that have large followings but don't return the favor and that are, quote-unquote, going the path of being an authority profile that maybe you can build friendships and relationships with some of their following and fill in the gaps that they are not getting from this authority figure?
Well, can I just use my psychic person and my medium to tarot cards?
Sure.
To find all the good local people?
Yeah, and I think that's the other tip of the day, too, is we don't disagree with this guy saying that content's the way to go, but you've got to know, A, where to find this content, or B, how to create it if you don't like what you're finding and you don't want to share that with other people. If you want to create your own and try to become this thought leader within your industry, which that's another strategy you can take altogether, if you want to be recognized as a thought leader, well, you got to know where to go for ideas to stimulate this thought leadership so you can come up with content that is unique and adds a lot of value. It's a lot harder to go the thought leadership route. And that is a, if you're really going to set out to do that, you're going to have to be totally focused on being that thought leader every single day. To me, it seems a lot easier to go out and find stuff that's already pre-screened, so to speak, that other people are enjoying reading, share that with your following, and then that way they will look to you as somebody who's contributing value, that's adding something to their life, that they look forward to their content every day, even though it's stuff that other people read. That, to me, seems like an easier path to go, but to each their own. So there's a few tips all wrapped into one.
Yeah, so it's not a grader, like greater than. It's like a school grade. So Twitter.
Yeah, G-R-A-D-E-R, right.
Yeah, G-R-A-D-E-R. And so, you know, I'm looking at this. I'm comparing it to did I close it out? Close it out. What the heck was I thinking? Twitter Local.
Right.
Right. So we were messing around with that the other day, and I've been using that. It's pretty good. It lets you really narrow your focus by your zip code and by radius. You know what I'm finding, though, is a lot of young kids
right.
that I'm seeing on Twitter Local, whereas the nice thing here with Twitter Grader, so, you know, I logged in, and I registered, and then I logged in with my account, my Twitter account, so it synchronized the two, and then I did a search. So I did a search just for my local area, typed in Temecula, and it's showing me everybody. It's showing me, so I can pull up their profiles. I can see their grade, their number of followers, the number of updates, where they're located. So right there in this tool, I'm just going in and saying, hey, follow them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I want to follow local people, wanting to do more and more locally to augment what I'm doing nationally, because, you know, my little hometown here has really gotten beaten up from a real estate standpoint. And so, you know, I'd like to see the community come back. And so, you know, if you are into, well, I guess the cool thing is you can type in anything into the top users by location. So once you type that in, you'll find them and follow them, and chances are they'll follow you back. And then, assuming, once again, you put in good content, you know, be sociable, not just full of bull, and you'll grow your presence online. So
yeah, I think that's another great point you make, Wes, is you can go out and find the people that are in your direct reach area. Like you're focused on your local people and trying to help them. Well, I think if let's say I run a restaurant and I've got one location, that is a great strategy to follow right there to find people that are in your backyard that you can reach that might come into your restaurant. I mean, we get a lot of people that have just one store, they have restaurants, or they have a beauty salon or a dental firm, something along those lines, that those are very local firms that they have no use in going out and building a 100,000-person following all across the nation, because those people are never going to come into their store. They're never going to visit their restaurant. They're never going to come have their teeth cleaned by that dentist. So you can go on there, find people that are in your backyard, find the people that have followings there that are very local, and go out and reach out and try to connect with these people. That's an easy way to use social media and build your presence without spending a lot of money, without being obtrusive or invasive or anything like that. You can go a long way with just a few steps and get going pretty quickly.
Well, and so these two tools, so Twitter Local and Twitter Grader, I mean, they go together, okay? So, like, Twitter Grader looks like it caps you out at 50 per area. So
mm-hmm.
it's showing you the top 50 in any city that you type in. Whereas, so the nice thing is you got quality there,
right.
but not quantity. So Twitter Local will let you find everybody within a certain radius that you designate
mm-hmm.
to follow. So, you know, use them both. Get the quality and get the quantity.
Right.
And then you can, you know, you got to go in and check. You got to go in and weed them out every now and then. I mean, this morning, I don't blush very easily, and I blushed at least twice just from the little profile picture of some of these folks on their profile picture. My goodness gracious, I didn't know people were that flexible.
I can attest that, Wes, you're not easy to make blush or embarrass easily.
Man. Like, goodness gracious, and that's on their profile.
Stuff.
So, I mean, so I use, like I was saying before, TweetDeck. And the nice thing with TweetDeck, you can go in and not only block those people, you can block them and report them as spam.
Right.
And Twitter's pretty good at calling those people out. And I know because Twitter is one of my clients. From an IT standpoint, a good friend of mine, we've mentioned maybe before, but good old Steve Mays with X2 Technologies, the smartest IT guy ever.com. He's Twitterer number 23, but provides the outsourced IT support to Twitter. Actually, we're working on they're moving offices again. They keep growing, and that's coming up next month. But you know, so Steve's been number 23, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
out of umpteen millions, 55 million. So they, you know, they want to provide value as well. So when you see people doing stupid stuff, just take an extra second and report them. And so TweetDeck's a very good tool to make that happen, do it simply and quickly.
Yeah, it's got a little thing on there, a little button that you can just, isn't that under other actions?
Yeah, so if you're using TweetDeck, yeah, you got, you put your mouse over the person's profile picture. So, yeah, you've got on the bottom right-hand side a little gear-looking thing, other actions. Go highlight user, another window will expand, add to group, follow, unfollow, view profile, search, block, or block and report spam. So if the 53 million users, let's assume 40 million, 45 million are honest business people, you know, if they just all reported one a day, I mean, that would shut the spammers down.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
Really would.
And I'd say, by and large, most people on Twitter are good people. They're not out to scam you. Or
well, they are, but the spammers have the tools and the desire and the ability to flood the market. So, you know, 95% of email is spam, and over 40% of Twitter traffic is spam.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's not valuable, right? We all are on email every day, and we've just gotten better tools to weed that out. So the same thing with Twitter. You know, that is a cool thing with social media, is that when we see something good or bad, the word gets out immediately. You know, you can't hide anymore, right? In the broadband internet and world of social media. So
yeah.
when you see some BS, call it out. You know, just like we were talking about yesterday with blogger Bob from the TSA.
Right.
You know, they were getting beat up and they didn't earn it. And hey, you know, I was happy to support those guys and make sure I wasn't supporting a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So get the word out, man.
Exactly.
Report these spammers.
Well, it's time for us to jet off. We've put in our time for today and shared some really good stuff, but you can join us here in a couple hours on a live free webinar if you go to marketingvirtualseminar.com and register, or if you follow Wes or me on Twitter, which Wes is saleswhisper, twitter.com / saleswhisper, or you can follow me, twitter.com / Roger Bauer, Bauer is B-A-U-E-R. I will be sending out a tweet in about an hour that will give you a direct link to the seminar page, webinar page, to where you can listen in live free if you don't want to go register, I understand, but still would love to have you on the webinar. We're going to learn a lot of good stuff as to why only 5% of marketers make money with social media. This is a rerun of the webinar that we sold out last Thursday. We didn't realize that we were going to sell it out, but we did, so people couldn't get in, and they've asked us to redo the webinar, so hopefully this one will be a better rendition because we learned a few things last week, and would love to have you on there if you would like to register. Again, it's marketingvirtualseminar.com, or follow Wes, Sales Whisper, on Twitter. Follow me, Roger Bauer, on Twitter, and you will get the update in about an hour as to how to join us, and then you'll get another one just before 4 o'clock. I'll just send out the same one again, and you can join us. Learn a lot about social media and hear more of our musings, ramblings, pontifications, and so forth. Opinions.
And I'm using those big words.
Hey, I'm still that emboldened yesterday. That just really that impressed me.
That was a good one.
You gotta
love the widgets on a Mac. Just hit the center button on your mouse, and it's got a dictionary and thesaurus.
Does it really? That's pretty cool.
Man, I'm telling you, it's good stuff, brother.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this puppy up.
Yeah.
Another 30, 40 minutes are in the can, and we will see everyone on the flip side. Thanks for joining. Again, this is Roger Bauer, S&B Consulting, Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer. We will talk with you tomorrow. Have a great day.
See ya.